Morning to everyone. Nice to Zoom with you all. I hope you're well. The message today, I wanted to concentrate on this period between the resurrection and Pentecost, in which Jesus spent 40 days preparing everyone for the coming of the church, and also to convince them that he really was alive and on and active, because there were a lot of people of his own followers that still didn't really believe. So I want to look at that, look at scriptures dealing with that and what the work was that Jesus was doing, because this was after he'd been resurrected, but he was here for 40 days actively working with the people, making personal appearances, as I could say, to prove that he was alive and to teach them and instruct them in what they were to do. And it's interesting also to think that after this period, Paul says sometime later that Jesus also appeared to him and taught him. So anyway, I want to read the accounts and we can ask ourselves, what does it take for us to believe that Jesus is alive and active, and also to see what we should be doing now? Because those are the two things that Jesus instructed. So my key scripture today is found in Acts 1 verse 3, where it said, "But after his suffering and death, he appeared to them. In many ways, he proved that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. And during that time, he spoke about God's kingdom." So let's look at how he presented himself, how he proved to different people that he was alive, and different types of people. Some people were easier to convince, as you might say, as others. And some, the empty tomb was enough, but others were skeptical and they wouldn't believe until they actually touched him. First of all, we can look at several different people and what type of people they were, their reaction, and think about which one you relate to. And the first person that Jesus appeared to was a woman. And women at that time, in the eyes of the Roman society, they were disregarded. They were insignificant. To the Jews, women had some significance, but in a Jewish court of law, a woman's testimony was not valid. So the first person Jesus appeared to was a woman, and not just any woman. She was one that had seven demons cast out. And do you think people quickly forgot that she was a woman that had seven demons? And she was probably, in their society, the lowliest of the low. And I'm talking about Mary of Magdalene, or Mary Magdalene. But Jesus held her and respected her as much as anyone else, and she loved him for it. And she was the first to the tomb to perform a lowly duty, to anoint Jesus' body with spices. Now, in Jewish society, according to their law, anyone who touched a dead body was ceremonially unclean for a few days. So men didn't want to do it. Besides, it was a smelly job. And so she and some other ladies did it, and willingly, because they loved Jesus. I think back as to when Jesus raised Lazarus. At that time, when they rolled away the stone, Lazarus' sister said, "It's been 4 days, he's going to stink." Well, this has been 3 days since Jesus was crucified, so there probably wasn't pleasant odor there either. So here they were Mary, especially lowliest of the low, doing an unpleasant job in some sense. And yet they're the ones that Jesus appeared to first, especially Mary. So we read in John 20, verse 11 through 18. It says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' She said, 'They've taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus." Now, one commentary I read had an interesting thought, that since Jesus' clothing was gambled on by the Roman soldiers at his crucifixion, and then he was put in cloths wrapped around him, and they were left behind at the tomb, that maybe he needed some clothes. And of course, he had the option, there was angels all around, but maybe he took the practical approach and found a gardener's apron and hat and put that on. I don't know, but it's, she thought he was a gardener. So he was standing there in, let's say, a disguise in a sense. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" And thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." And then Jesus said, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So she grabbed onto him and he told her not to do that, but others touched him later, as we'll see. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Apparently, there were other women with her at this time, too, because it says in Matthew 28, verse 8, "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Anyway, Mary, that was first appeared to, and women, not the men. But later in the day, Jesus appeared to Cleopas and another man who's unidentified. And this is described in Luke 24, 13 to 35, where there were two men walking on the way to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, so a couple hours walk. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. So Jesus didn't reveal himself, and I think he wanted to be able to discuss them. If they'd have known it was Jesus, all they would be able to think about was that it was he was resurrected and so on, but he wanted to talk to them and teach them, so he kept in disguise. So when he asked them about what they were discussing, they stopped and stood still with their faces downcast because they were really distraught. Things did not turn out the way they thought. They were looking for Jesus' kingdom to be established. That didn't happen. One of the apostles committed suicide. The Romans killed Jesus. They were expecting him to stop that, to establish his kingdom and defeat the Romans. So they were downcast, distraught. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know these things that have happened there in these days?" And he says, "What things?" "This is about Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place." Then in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And he began with Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. There he was in a body, walking along in flesh and blood, but this body was able to disappear from their sight. So it had godly or heavenly properties too. So he just shows that Jesus was both man and God. So they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" So during this time, their minds were open and they were focused on what he was telling them. But then he revealed himself to them. Now, I want to mention that apparently he appeared to Simon Peter sometime, but the encounter is not recorded because Luke 24, verses 33 to 35, it says, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Actually, this is a continuation on of what I just read. But it says, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Now, apparently it was at night, but I think there might have been a full moon then. I'm not sure. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So apparently he appeared to Simon, and I think this is confirmed by Paul over in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 8, where he says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that is Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. So apparently he had appeared to Peter. And then continuing on in Luke, this is when Cleopas was talking to the disciples and telling them what their encounter. It says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in their presence. So he was proving to them, and they could touch him and feel him and show to them that he actually would eat food, that his physical body was resurrected. But they kept doubting. When you think about the angels appearing to Mary Magdalene and the women at the tomb, and then when they reported to the disciples, they said they had seen a vision. So it went from actually seeing angels to a vision because doubt started creeping in. So here Christ is appearing to the apostles and they're thinking they saw a ghost. And so he had to work to prove to the people that he actually was alive, that he was physical and resurrected, but yet God also. Next, we move to the Sea of Galilee. And remember that the angels had told the women to tell them to go to Galilee. But before that, I wanted to point out one thing, one important event that happened that John describes at Jesus' encounter with them on John 20, verses 21 to 23. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hand and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And here's the key part. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. But the important part, what I want to emphasize, that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So this is just to the disciples. But remember, later at Pentecost, everyone, thousands, received the Holy Spirit. But Jesus bestowed that on them, the apostles and disciples at that time. Okay, moving on. We get to Thomas the Doubter. Maybe you identify with him, where you've been skeptical. Is Jesus really alive? Does he really exist? Is he who he says he is? And it tells us in John 20, verses 24 to 29, that Thomas, also known as Didymus, he wasn't there when Jesus appeared to the other disciples, but he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where his nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. I don't know why he was so adamant, but boy, he was not going to believe it. So guess what? A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And with that, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So Jesus really had to rub it in to Thomas, make him put his hand in his side and touch him, and because he just wouldn't believe until then. Perhaps because he had been disappointed by events, things did not turn out the way he thought they should have been, and Jesus had been killed, and he thought he should have taken over and established the kingdom, whatever. But it took a lot to convince him. Now we have another person, Peter. We've said that it looks like Jesus had encountered him, but in the scriptures, the encounter that's really recorded takes place in Tiberias at the lake. And this is in John 21, verses 1 to 14. And this is the third time he appeared to the disciples. Remember, Peter was the one who cut the ear of the high priest off. And then when he was in the courtyard of the high priest, he denied Christ three times, perhaps because he was afraid that they knew that he cut the ear off and would accuse him of something else, or he'd be in harm's way or whatever. Anyway, he got scared, and because of his cowardice, he denied Christ three times. So in John 21, verses 1 to 14, it says, "Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter said, 'I'm going out to fish.' And they said, 'We'll go with you.' So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. So early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, 'Friends, have you any fish?' 'No,' they answered. 'Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some.' And so when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, 'It is the Lord,' he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish you have just caught.' So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. Who took the time to count? But I guess they were real fishermen. They wanted to know. So somebody counted 153 fish, and they were large. But even with so many, the net was not torn. So Jesus performed a miracle for them. Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' None of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' For they knew it was the Lord." Why didn't they ask? But they knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So through these appearances to different people, different types of people, he was able to prove to them that he was alive, that he did live, and he was also God, and that he not only was there in flesh and blood, but he could appear and disappear. And one point talked about him rising up in a cloud, but he had not yet ascended. That was going to the throne, to God on high. That was going to come at the end of the 40 days. But the other part of the key scripture of Acts 1 verses 3, which was, "After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And then he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." So I wanted to address the kingdom of God and what he said about that with a few scriptures. In Matthew 28:16-20, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." So they still doubted. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So there was commandments to go and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to obey everything that he's commanded them, and to the very end of the age. So this was something whenever Christ would return again, they were to keep this up. Then again in Luke 24, verses 45 to 49, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So they were to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations. And then over in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11, one thing I learned this week from, the Bible Project, they were saying that Acts is actually a continuation of Luke and was intended to be part of it. So it flows easily from Luke over to Acts. And Acts 1, verses 6 to 11 says, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So they saw Jesus go up. He told them what was written about what they were to do, to go and preach, and then to wait on receiving the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus would come back and was going to come back. So these men of little belief had proven to them that Jesus was alive. These doubters, that Jesus was coming back. He instructed them as to what they were to be doing, to go to Jerusalem and await the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in this 40-day time, he appeared to over 500 people. He taught them that he didn't intend to restore the nation of Israel at that time. And going forward, they were to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins, make disciples of all nations. Let's conclude by the scripture in John when he concluded talking to doubting Thomas, where he told him, Jesus said, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So we have not seen Jesus directly, but we are believers because we believe his scriptures, believe his word, and he's spoken to us personally. We've had our own personal encounters with him and know that he's alive. So let's conclude with a prayer that to our Father, that thank you for giving us your Son Jesus to live and die, be resurrected and live again, ascend to your throne and rule with power, and all authority has been given to you, and your Spirit, your Holy Spirit's been given to us, to the church, to be our comforter, to speak to us, to guide us and help us. We thank you for your love, for your forgiveness, for the grace that you've bestowed on us, for your love. And from the lowest of us to the highest, we're all alike to you. You love each and every one of us and stand by us. And if we look to you and learn to trust in you, you will deliver. You will perform mighty miracles for us and live in our lives and guide us and give us comfort. So we thank you for your blessings, for your love, and for the recording of your word so that we can learn by it and be inspired by it and encouraged. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.